Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long, so let's get into the show.
Hi, Jackie Cation.
Hi.
I'm in a hotel room in San Francisco doing the punchline this week, and come to the show, Ranger of the Dork Forest, fan and fellow dork, I would imagine. You wanted to do the show, and that is an attainable goal. Let's do it. But your dorkdom, Rebecca Deans, is it Deans plural?
Yeah,
it is. Deans plural, is the Venture Brothers, which hilariously is also something that I enjoyed a great deal. So
I knew I was safe.
Let's dork out about the Venture Brothers. I did like that you were like, no, they don't have to follow my Instagram because it's quilts and cross stitch. And I was like, Those are also two different dork forests that I've already done.
I have listened to quilts and cross stitch and beekeeping and many others.
Well, Rebecca Deans, I don't even think the Venture Brothers, they're making them completely unevenly, right?
Oh, it's crazy. The pilot came out in 2003, and then the first season was in 2004. Skip a couple years, skip a year, skip a couple more years, and then a huge chunk with two specials in the middle of it. And then we get a new season, and then a huge special, and then the last two seasons.
Or two seasons. So what is that? Seven seasons or
it's
with
seven
with...
seasons in 15 years.
Okay. Did you ever do a thing that I did for Andy one season was I ordered him those t-shirts?
Yes, I was part of the t-shirt club. I loved them. I want to get more. I'm going to look on Etsy and Poshmark and eBay and get some of the ones
Andy
I missed out on.
Andy still wears his Hanko.
Hanko's a great shirt.
That's so a great shirt.
It's the OSI one. It's very comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, they're cut for... Girls.
Or nerdy guys, it turns out. Or
well, they had a male cut and a female cut, and I'm like, I'm going to the gym all the time, I'll get the ladies' cut. Stopped going to the gym all the time.
Right. And quite honestly, the ladies' cut is complete bullshit. I don't understand what is happening with the ladies' cut, but it's never really worked out for me. There's a very specific lady in mind. They have a very specific female person in mind, and it is
something
not
in
I.
the Pamela Anderson range, I think.
Possibly.
Very large, very skinny, very thin.
Yes, very, very possible. So for people who don't know, was it on Adult Swim? Was that the first? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So the Venture Brothers, and it was a BROS, a period?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and in 2003, it was an early time for Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
So they were coming out with just sort of specials or sort of one-offs. And that, what is it based on again? I forget.
It's sort of Johnny Quest.
That's it.
As an adult who's a failure. So, like, all of the questing has completely given PTSD, and being raised with too much money has no ability to interact properly in society.
Right.
So he's just out there kind of doing the same thing to his kids that he had done to him.
Right.
Maybe isn't as high, as well received as his father was in the scientific community.
Right, right. He is not well received. He keeps repurposing a lot of his father's older inventions. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Venture, but he is an adult version of Johnny Quest. That's right.
Yeah. But and he also has, there is a Johnny Quest character, and he is even more screwed up than Rusty is.
Oh, who was he that?
He is,
not
Brock. They just call him Johnny. And he's blonde, okay. And he's a heroin addict.
Oh, he's a recurring. He's a recurring character. I remember him. Okay. I think we have the first four seasons on DVD. At that point, I think it was an excellent Christmas gift for Andy. I would be like, okay, this is something
it's
can
a good one.
Watch.
I have all seven on DVD because mm-hmm. or Blu-ray as they moved into that. And then they have great audio director's commentary on the DVD. So I love them.
Really?
And it's really just Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick who are the creators talking about a little bit about the show, a lot about their own lives, a little bit about New York, which is where they're recording this, so it can be a little loud, and also talking about how much they personally enjoy audio or commentaries, which I enjoy because when you're sewing and you're listening to commentary, you don't have to be looking at what's on the screen because you're so familiar with it.
It's almost like visual description. It's almost mm-hmm. like the blind whispering because they're talking about the scene that they're describing. So it's kind
of perfect. Podcasting, listening to a podcast.
Right. You don't always have to see the vid. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for sure. It's different when someone wants to show you their pet possum, which was Mo Alexander last week.
But, okay. I have to listen to that
because
I love a possum.
Oh my God, so does he. Weirdly enough, he stayed in a condo two people before me. And that was the week I got a rash.
Oh.
And they were like, maybe you're allergic to possum. And I was like, are you not cleaning this condo? Because it has been 2 or 3 weeks. And you would think possum hairs would have at least
be vacuumed up, sheets washed, would hope.
Yeah, some damn thing. It makes me itch just to even think of it. So, okay, so there's Dr. Venture, mm-hmm. and then there's Brock.
Yes, and his bodyguard.
His bodyguard, and then the two boys, his sons. And it's
Hank and Dean.
That's right.
And they are fraternal twins rather than identical twins.
Oh, that's right, because they're clones or they were test tube babies.
Clones.
Or and then did they ever talk about who was their mother?
Never. There is in the second season there's a character who believes she's their mother. And they leave you in that episode thinking it's possible she's their mother. But when that character is brought back up in the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest themed episode, it's proved that Myra is not the boy's mother because she finally wants to birth them. And she's trying to do a rebirth ceremony with the boys. And they're not having it.
Oh, my God. So creepy. I mean, that is one of the things about this is that it is epically violent.
Yeah.
And very, very, and often just a little gross. Mm-hmm. I would posit that the first three seasons initially, am I right in remembering that there was no arc in those early seasons? There were one-offs?
It was more like creature feature of the week, but there were a couple of it was introducing a lot of characters. And then season three, we do a lot of backstory work. Like we find out how Billy and White get involved. We find out, you know, Samson's background with Colonel Gathers. We find out all sorts of, you know.
Right.
The
they flesh things out. Mm-hmm. They flesh things out later. But I remember those early episodes, they would just end. Mm-hmm. And then there would be some sort of slug or like a big, what's going to happen next week? And then they never mention it again.
That's the kind of the best part. It's like in season two, I believe, there's an episode called Return to the House of Mummy. There's no House of Mummy. It's not a part two that you somehow missed the part one of. It's just, it is what it is. And then it really devolves into who is the bigger man / smaller man between Doc and Dr. Orpheus. because one tries to shrink Ray and one ends up psychologically devastating himself and just becoming small internally.
Oh my God, Dr. Orpheus is Dr. Strange. And
yes,
that is so amazing. And what season does he not come in? He's sort of peripheral.
He's very early.
Yeah. But I think then his daughter is introduced.
Triana.
Oh, my God.
And
she's
Dean
all goth.
Is so in love with Triana, and she is just not interested. And she has a friend, and they go on a double date between the boys and the girls. And just like, I think on one of the commentaries, the guys said that they were thinking about turning her friend into the boy's first arch nemesis. And I would have loved to see that because Dr. Girlfriend gives the young woman her card and says, call me if you're interested. And it's it's the guild card.
right. It's a guild card. The monarch is the monarch and the henchman, I think, might have been my favorite. And this is full of spoilers for a show that is clearly almost 20 years old. So know in your heart that you're not missing anything. Though I was annoyed when one of the henchmen dies, right?
Yes, when we lose 24, a lot is happening at the exact same time where Brock quit and 24 dies and Helper's blown up.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I of course focused on Brock quitting because I love Brock.
But sure.
You know,
who doesn't have a crush on the animated Brock Sampson? And
well, he just cuts through their bullshit a lot of the times. He's just like, no.
No, he's just he just shows up and he has all of the skills.
Yeah.
He has all of the mad, he has the killing skills, mm-hmm. but he also has the human skills to interact with the boys mm-hmm. that is you wouldn't have saw it, right? Like,
he's their nanny, but also their bodyguard.
Yes, exactly. He is their nanny. I remember that time they go to Mexico. They go to Tijuana.
Yes.
That's
first
an early
real episode.
Okay.
Dia de los Muertos. And Doc gets paid in pesos and really not happy about it.
right. Is he gets paid in pesos. He doesn't know. And it's more of an ESL class than mm-hmm. anything else, you know? You're just like, what is this show? I remember watching it going, because I'd also like the art.
Yes, that's a great big draw is how they designed their characters and their environments.
It looked like a genuinely updated version of a 70s cartoon or 60s mm-hmm. cartoon. And so it didn't look like it was, how sometimes they take, a lot of video games, they're like, well, we're going to make it look like a 16-bit video game, mm-hmm. but it's going to be a lot more complex than that. This thing didn't even pretend to do that. They had that sort of art direction, but they went with a modern, they did it. They were like, we're just still going to
almost
do
like
it in Photoshop.
Archer, you're not sure when it set. Because there's so much modern technology, but also all of the interiors, not even just Doc's interiors, which like he had money in the 70s and then wasn't getting that much money. So he stopped redecorating and they spent a lot of money on decorating this place the first time around.
Right. Oh my God.
But when they go to New York at the beginning of season 6, everything is new and shiny and phones and hover cars and just ultra tech.
Right. They have those, and I think in the first couple of seasons, do the boys have hover scooters?
Yeah.
And but I love. So Andy, there was a cosplay. It was a LARP, live action Avenger Brothers LARP that Andy took part in, and he and his buddy Scott, who has been on the show many times. I think the last time he was on was Batman. And he talked about Batman. But they played 24 and 23? Was it?
21 and 20.
21, yeah, 20, 21 and 24.
24.
Yeah. And Scott had never been to a cos. He had never done a LARP before. So he didn't know. I've only done a couple myself, and I am never certain of the rules. Mm-hmm. And Scott did not know the rules, so he stayed in character as 24 for 4 hours. And Andy was like, I'm going to go get some chips. But he also was just so wowed by their costumes were great. I mean, I have pictures of Andy and Scott as the two henchmen. They made, you know, foam. They looked good. But the Monarch, so the Monarch is his arch enemy, is Dr. Venture's arch enemy.
It's very complicated, and I'm going to spoil it.
Please. Yes,
there
please.
Are many levels to the meaning the Venture Brothers, because at first you're like, Hank and Dean, Venture Brothers, go Team Venture. And then you find out that at some point, Rusty absorbed his twin, and his twin is still living inside of him, and his twin wants out. So then, after the boys are, spoiler alert, killed at the end of season one, it's going to be Rusty and this new Dr. Venture, because Dr. Jonas Venture Jr., who named himself after their father, got his doctorate, like multiple doctorates, while Rusty was mourning the loss of the boys and having some playtime out in the real world. And then, so there's that. And then we have a new character is introduced that you think is Brock's son at first, because it just, this kid drives Brock up the wall the way only your own child can.
Oh, so the square-headed
Dermot,
guy.
Yes, yeah. Hank's friend Dermot can understand robot, which only the Venture Brothers can. He just, there's a lot going on. And then you find out that he's actually Rusty's kid, because Rusty knocked up his teenage fan club leader, and they live close enough by that, you know, Rusty's kids are now friends with his illegitimate kids. So then you've got the Venture Brothers being Hank, Dean, and Dermot. And then you find out what a giant raging asshole the original Dr. Jonas was. And he is actually the father of the Monarch. And that's where we end it. Is like, there was supposed to be one more season.
Let us go back in time and unpack. Okay. Let us unpack. That's the end of season 7?
Yeah.
As we find out that that Rusty's... Okay, so Rusty, by the way, is Rusty Venture. Uh-huh. Our Dr. Venture, played by Urbaniak.
James Urbaniak.
Yeah. And by the way, the James Urbaniak episodes of The Dork Forest are a delight, because he is made up of bees that know about old Hollywood. So
sounds like Dr. Venture. He took his kid to the zoo, and somebody's like, is that Dr. Venture? And he's like, like that, I guess.
I guess I do. And so Rusty Venture is our current Dr. Venture. Yep. His dad was Jonas Venture.
Correct.
And his absorbed little
twin that he absorbed in the womb, yet somehow fully formed,
right? Is born fully formed
at 40.
Yes, is Jonas Jr.
Correct? JJ.
Now Hank and Dean are Rusty's real sons.
Yes.
As is Dermot.
Yes.
Who is the neighbor kid, who is also a son from a different mother, but with an actual mother. Because here's the thing about the Dean and Hank, they're clones. So they, every time they die, that's why they sleep in those beds, so that their memories can be uploaded, so that if they're killed, they can just be the software can be re-added, and then they can just keep going.
The end of season 3. Because they send the clones out to battle the OSI and the Monarch's troops,
they all die.
Dr. Venture's like, the boys want to go out and fight, and Dr. Venture's like, no, we need to be careful now.
now you can't. We have no backups. We have no backups of the boys. Yeah. And so then that's season 3. Now we have Dermot. So the Monarch and Dr. Girlfriend.
God, I love Dr. Girlfriend.
Oh, Dr. Girlfriend. I have a Dr. Girlfriend. She has been the Mother Mary in our nativity scene many times. And so the Monarch is a butterfly-based supervillain where he flies around in what looks to be a beehive?
It's supposed to be a cocoon, but again, it does look way more like a beehive because cocoons are static, so I wouldn't think it's flowing around. But I honestly think they really missed a trick when they renamed Dr. Girlfriend after the wedding. Because I wanted her to be named Madam Butterfly. Because
of Madam
Butterfly.
That's
what I was waiting for. Because I initially started back when you had to wait for every episode and then whole seasons and like summers and winters. And then you're just thinking about it all the time. It's like, what are they going to do? They're married. How are they going to deal with this? Because she's not Dr. Girlfriend anymore.
Right.
And then they tell you. And it's like, I'll live with it because it's what it is. But
what was it?
Oh, she's Dr. Mrs. The Mark.
Oh, you're right.
It's
a mouthful. It was not. I think I always refer to as Mrs. Dr. Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And which did make
girlfriend status.
Right, they were still in love. So, but she was always the real threat in their relationship.
Yeah,
and here, now what you have done is you have created a real spoiler because I don't think we got to the end of seven to find out about, because we knew that Jonas was not great. Like whenever you'd see a clip, he would be off solving problems or inventing things, but never being a father.
Yeah, so, and at one point he's being a psychiatrist to his own child. Very problematic.
right, all kinds of terribles. And so... yeah, so at the end of it, we find out that they're actually Rusty and the Monarch are actually brothers.
And you can see it. There's a whole arc in the sixth and seventh season where you're like, they have kind of the same face shape. And that probably came about in the beginning just because they were drawing quickly. And, you know,
it was
all hand drawn. It's one of the few traditional style cartoons that was left on the plate of, you know, everything started getting... faster and
digital
background.
Does that mean that there's cells?
I believe there are.
That's kind of exciting. Though, of course, cells now are thousands. They probably always were, but...
I think we're such a niche market, you might be able to get them for a decent price.
A decent price. There might be a song. And that is so... Are there... I mean, there's so many great characters in this thing. Are there
too many to list?
Too many to list. What are some of your favorite characters? As I hit the microphone.
So definitely 21, and I love how he comes into his own after around season 4, and he's totally in love with Dr. Girlfriend, who again I love Dr. Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of had some issues in the first couple seasons with some transphobia that would definitely have flown much better in 2003, 2004 because of how Brock reacts to this very gravelly voiced woman. But
She's still my favorite. And speaking of Brock and his sexual exploits, so the Russian woman with the patch?
Molotov cocktails.
Right. And I will say this on season 6 and 7, I remember watching it going, you guys have kind of a hacky early 20s. Like, your sex jokes have not matured much past this.
Correct.
And so if people do start watching it now, know that it is a little hacky.
Yes.
And but there is joy to be found in Mudville if you, you know, get through the weeds. Mm-hmm. And
Warriana, who is the their version of Wonder Woman, who's voiced by Kate McKinnon.
Right.
From
because...
SNL.
Oh,
and
my
she's
goodness.
Like, who Brock attaches to after. Because Molotov is completely uninterested in Brock. She has her own life and she has her own guild of super assassins. Mm-hmm. And she's in love with the giant guy whose name I can't remember, when the pinstripe suit, who's like the businessman who will sue you into submission. But he's also literally massive.
right. He's a giant. Right. And then there's the invisible guy with the limbs.
Oh, Phantom it's Limb.
The Phantom Limb guy. I'm like, there's part of me that literally wants to look up a Wikipedia list of characters because I love this show so much. and that there aren't episodes so much that stop me, though there are parts. Whenever there's a scene where the monarch in his cocoon is flying towards the venture compound, I know that I'm about to see something amazing. And
his battle color is fuchsia. And all the lights turn purple when he's about to attack.
But he's a monarch. And in the beginning, the first season, I think they talk about how the danger of butterflies and how a butterfly is your natural enemy.
There are several butterfly themed things. The man who raised him was a superhero called the Blue Morpho, who died in a plane accident when Monarch was 9 or so. And he was raised among the Monarch butterflies.
Oh, that's right. He was
and he lived on milkweed. And that's why he identifies as the Monarch.
Right. And then when
21 is trying to break into the insane asylum for supervillains, he dresses up like the Viceroy. And the Viceroy is a type of butterfly that mimics the monarch butterfly. So there are all these levels. And the Pupa twins, which I don't love, but I like them more than I like them as the Muppets.
I genuinely have to watch the show again just because it's such a... I wonder if it's streaming too.
It is. So you can get it on HBO Max. You can get it on Hulu. The problem with Hulu is they will cut the end joke. Definitely for all first three seasons. And the end joke is very important. So follow all the credits, end joke, move on to the next season. Or the next episode.
They always have a tag.
They're not necessarily they make the show. They make that episode. Yes. Whatever it is, they either finish, they hit a joke on the head, or they just... It's important, and Hulu always just cuts that out. And at least for the first three seasons, because they're so used to no one sitting through the credits. It's not like they're long credits. It's a 22-minute show.
When I was a child, I remember when MASH went into syndication, I was like, they're cutting out the after. That's what I called it as a child. Yes. And it was the final joke. It would be they would come back in and they would do, it was like a stinger. There's an actual term for it. Denouement. God knows. I'm sure there's something very beautiful that it's called, but I always called it the sort of the last joke. And, and when they went into syndication, they would cut that joke. And so that's what Hulu's doing. And I don't approve. So HBO Max.
And then I ended up buying season 7 on Amazon Prime because we had cut the cable cord and I wasn't seeing it on Adult Swim anymore. So I was like, I will pay to have it as it comes out. And I will pay to get the final disc set because I need all the discs.
Right. Because eventually HBO Max is going to be bought by Discovery Plus and they're going to be horrible. So that's what we need. We need to own the DVDs, which is why the fact that there are no DVDs for any of the Marvel Disney Plus TV shows hurts my heart.
Yes.
I'm like, I would like a WandaVision set, please. Mm-hmm. I would like a She-Hulk set. I would like a Hawkeye set, a Winter Soldier, Falcon. Nope. Not happening. So I have Ventech Industries, Sergeant Hatred.
Oh, our very problematic.
Oh my God.
Nemesis, pedophile turned reformed pedophile. Who's now in charge of the boys. This is right, not problematic. Who is
now there's now the nanny who is some sort of reformed pedophile, and he's got to make sure he takes some. I forget whether he's taking some drug or if
no
he's...
molestol. It's an injectable drug. Which he ran out of when they had the Lord of the Rings movie joke. And so he's looking at just triggers. And the audience is full of little kids and he's running away. So he's self-aware enough to remove himself from the situation.
Yes. Yes.
But still,
why would you create
has
this
a recurrent
pedophile
character that you kind of like by the end because he's so earnest.
He's earnest and he is trying and you're just like, what is pedophilia. I mean, they don't really ever. They're just, well, they literally play it for the gag.
There are several jokes about the boys not wanting to sit next to him during the wedding showdown at Cremation Creek because one remembers what happened and the other one doesn't. And he's like, oh, we're not sitting next to him.
Wow. It is.
And they kind of dropped that because it would get too dark when they moved him in. But they also, like, when Rusty ran the day camp, and had all the boy adventure, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. Like, Sergeant Hatred came in and he was going to arch Dr. Venture at that time. And he was like, mm-hmm. I can't, there are too many beautiful.
Too many children.
Children. Oh, geez.
It is
hooking those two up.
Right. And just unapologetically, weirdly mm-hmm. dark sometimes where you're like, I actually am made uncomfortable at this point.
Yeah.
Which,
Yeah.
So it's Quiz Boy, Billy Quiz Boy.
Yeah. Billy, who is a boy genius and has most likely a form of dwarfism and hydrocephalia, which means he has a very large head.
Right.
But he also has a fake hand and a robot eye, and you find out all of the back secrets to that in season 3 about how he got that way.
Oh, right. And then his partner, mm-hmm. Pete White, Mr. White, yeah. And he's
an
albino.
Who went to college with Rusty.
That's it. Yes. And because Quiz Boy was a fan of Rusty's, mm-hmm. and Pete White they were rivals.
At one point, they call him a starfucker because Billy is obviously his best friend. He lives with Billy. He plays video games with Billy.
Yep.
They are a team under
They have a business.
But Pete always refers to Rusty as his best friend, Doc Venture as his best friend because he's a starfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's the weird thing. Is the pirate captain.
Oh, I love pirate captain.
Wait, is he the skinny character who shows mm-hmm. up and he's another Brock Sampson? He's like, he used to be Brock Sampson's colonel or something? Or
no,
captain?
No, that's Colonel Gathers.
Colonel.
The guy who has the sex reassignment surgery.
That's
because
it.
Because Brock
okay.
can't kill women, won't kill women. So he gets changed. And then they kind of waffle back and forth about whether he really wanted it. And then he gives it up. And you're like, where does he identify? Where does she identify? But mm-hmm. like they play it a lot for laughs. But there is a pirate captain who, in the very David Bowie-themed water-based episode, they... New Dr. Venture is trying to dig up one of his dad's old inventions that they lost in the ocean.
Oh,
and
right.
he's like, oh, I'm going to make money on this.
Yep.
Because nobody else has this patent. and then when Jonas Jr. shows up, he starts using the pirate captain as his sort of Man Friday, and he does all this stuff. And he's kind of like Brock, but also Dr. Jonas Jr. doesn't need protection because he's not effing around with the villains, the super villains.
Right.
So he's just running the thing.
Yeah, he's just a businessman and a scientist. Yeah.
But then Pirate Captain gets hooked back on tranquilizers and they do a whole train spotting joke in one of the later seasons.
Oh my God. Oh, wait a minute. They say on this Wikipedia, whatever mm-hmm. this is, it's Avenger Brothers fandom, is that when Dr. Girlfriend married the Monarch, they call her Dr. Mrs. the Monarch.
That sounds correct.
That sounds better. But that sounds, because the Monarch is the self-styled arch nemesis. His real name is Malcolm Fitzcarraldo.
Mm-hmm.
He's obsessed with monarch butterflies. He frequently describes himself as Dr. Venture's nemesis. Their rivalry resides almost completely in the monarch's imagination. Dr. Venture considers him more of a nuisance than a genuine threat. So, yeah, then there's 21 and 24. The Tim Tom and Kevin.
Yes. So they were Dr. Girlfriend's sidekicks when she was a standalone.
Because
she started as a standalone And then she worked as a back or a sidekick for Phantomos, who is Phantom Limb. And then she ran off with the Monarch.
That's right.
That is in the beginning of season three. They're doing a whole, they're trying to get seen as a couple by the Guild. So the Guild is this very bureaucratic institution of villainy.
Right, right. It's full of paperwork. It's the Al-Anon of villainy, where there's a lot of let's read the minutes. And
you're so like, you find out their whole backstory and how they got hooked up
and
where
and,
everybody came from, like Tim Tom and. And
yeah,
they, and those little those guys two are mean.
They're mean and creepy as all hell. And every time they show up, I'm just like, I don't know if I'm going to watch this episode. Because they are the Mrs. Murder, formerly Dr. Mrs. Murderous Moppets. They're surly, foul-mouthed, and utterly psychotic. And they were killed by when Sergeant Hatred destroyed the cocoon with his hover tank. I don't remember his hover tank.
I remember the hover tank. I don't remember exactly when they left the show, but there was such a big change in characters between seasons 5 and 6, like because everybody moves to New York.
Oh,
because,
right.
They've run out, the Monarch has run out of money, basically. He cannot rebuild his cocoon one more time. So he moves into the home of his parents, and that's where he finds out that his dad was a superhero and is very disturbed because, and then they find like video of Dr. Jonas, the original Dr. Venture, and his dad doing very inappropriate, sketchy Me Too cancellation level shit. And slowly find out that his dad is not his dad, but you know, what makes family is the people who love you. So.
No, it's so true. You guys, I'm talking with Rebecca Deans, who just said, what makes family?
About a very weird show.
About a super weird family. And So let's talk about the Order of the Triad. And
the lesser heroes of our group.
Yes.
Where we have the alchemist who's trying to cure AIDS, but also is a paunchy gay Asian man with a bald spot.
Right.
Our blade-themed Blackula hunter, Jefferson Stardust.
Right, and he only fights Blackulas. Mm-hmm. He will not fight white Draculas.
His
vampires.
Blood eye does not show up for the white Dracula. And then Dr. Orpheus, who is our Dr. Strange character.
Yes. And
I came at this show at a little bit of an angle because I was a book nerd and a movie nerd instead of a superhero comic book nerd. So a lot of these characters are like, I see these stereotypes, are they arch characters? This, you know, what type of character they're supposed to be, but I don't necessarily see the joke right away because Marvel hadn't really kicked in yet, and I was very late to Marvel as it was.
Right, it was early, it was pre the MCU when this all started, so that makes perfect sense. And then, Dr. Orpheus had a mentor that he talked to in the closet, if I remember correctly.
John H. Benjamin voices the Master in Triana's closet.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And was Triana magical?
She had the potential. And when the last time we really see her, but the last where she's living with her dad, she goes into the closet and the Master and she have a talk about how she doesn't want to end up married to Dean with some weird triple clone baby. So she maybe needs to go move in with her mom and her stepdad and get her magical education started.
Okay.
And the last time we see her is at the prom where she's agreed to go as a friend and Dean is an absolute piece of shit the entire night and ends up burning a cross on her lawn.
Oh my God. So, and then the Guild of Calamitous Intent is the Guild. That's the supervillain Guild.
Yeah.
Is there a superhero Guild?
OSI is OSI. In charge of the protagonists.
And then the Guild of Calamitous Intent is in charge of everybody else. And so there's Phantom Limb, Also voiced by James Urbaniak, it says. Oh, that's interesting. Former lover of Dr. Girlfriend and head of the Revenge Society.
And a pompous, annoying person.
So annoying. And then is constantly removing his limbs. Red Mantle and Dragoon. Two oldest members of the council. I don't remember either of them. Phantom Limb previously kidnapped them and sewed the dying Dragoon's head to Red Mantle's body. Oh, it's the two-headed guy.
Yeah, it becomes the two-headed guy. And they, in the very best part of one of the episodes is all of the people who are being lifted up into the new guild's Council of 13 have to fight off their original villains, their biggest villains. And they're like, they just kind of don't want to do it. So they right. kind of like watch a couple episodes of Downton Abbey and have a sherry because they share one stomach. And then they open their things and they've outlived their, and you know, their protagonists. Yeah. So they don't have to do anything.
Oh my gosh. I don't remember Radical Left, supervillain with a split personality and currently a member of the new council.
So he's sort of a Two-Face character.
Oh, okay. Phineas Phage. I vaguely remember Dr. Phineas Phage.
He was voiced by three people over the course of the show, including Bill Hader for a while.
Bill Hader and James Adomian.
Mm-hmm.
That's stand-up comic James Adomian, ladies and gentlemen, of Armenian ancestry, and a delight. So he, and then Red Death.
Oh, Red Death's my favorite because that's Clancy Brown, and he's just like growly and evil, but he's also very mature, and he only goes out and kills once a year because he's got a 6-year-old who he loves and a pretty wife, and. He has separated business from his personal life, and he's just gonna go around and murder as much as he wants on that one night a year.
Okay. And that is Red Death, you guys. So the Sovereign, what is a shapeshifter and former head of the guild, he primarily used the form of David Bowie.
Yeah. Okay. So in the very beginning, he's in charge of the guild, and then Phantom Limb overthrows him at the Battle of Cremation Creek, which is the end of season 2, and then loses something else, and then he's overthrown because he's kind of insane and a total asshole. So
yeah,
and
yeah,
then so the Sovereign's back in charge for a while, and it's kind of like you see him but you don't see him. He's when they want to make a David Bowie joke, they'll do it.
Okay.
And then he is killed like season 5, at the end of season 5. And then we have to set up a new council because there's not going to be a leader anymore. Everybody's going to actually be on the council.
Oh, okay.
So that's when Dr. Girlfriend starts her very paperwork heavy corporate job.
Oh my gosh. I like the seasons where it's, you know, I think my favorite character is usually Brock. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and the Monarch ones, when it's just showing Rusty being just a bad guy, mm-hmm. and he was genuinely a terrible father.
Oh,
and just, it's such an interesting, the fact that Adult Swim was like, clearly into this thing. Do we know what these guys went on? And I saw Paul F. Tompkins actually played the character of Jonas, I think not Jonas Sr., but the Monarch's dad.
Yeah.
And
the Blue Morpho.
That's it. And what have these two guys been doing since? That's the real.
Well, dead. They tell us very early that Dr. Jonas Venture died. And that's when Rusty got all of his money and he failed out, left college. So he doesn't have a doctorate, really. He has an honorary doctorate from the City College of Tijuana or something very, very not respected.
Very dodgy. Super dodgy.
And then the Blue Morpho died in the plane crash, which left Malcolm orphaned and being raised by monarch butterflies.
Okay. See, my real question is who... who created this? And what are they doing?
The Doc Hammer and Jackson Public. I'm not sure if those are their real names because I don't want to dig too deep because I
Kristen
enjoy it.
Okay, so I found it. Mm-hmm. It's Kristen McCulloch. Christopher McCulloch is the director and writer of it. Does that mean that he created it, Christopher McCulloch?
Yeah. So Christopher McCulloch goes by Jackson Public.
Oh, that's right, because that's how it's written in the credits. I've seen it. I'm in the part of show business that doesn't know who anybody is. So that's the important thing. So what else? Yeah, so I don't know if he...
So they were really... Jackson Public, I believe, was really into doing the Tick live action in 2000.
Okay.
So that's kind of where your sense of humor came in. And he had a friend who introduced him to Doc Hammer, and they threw together this kind of idea. I think that had been pre-simmering about what happened to Johnny Quest after. What was an adult Johnny Quest really like? Because I'm sure it wasn't healthy.
Right.
And one of them is a painter and the other is kind of a musician. And they just had this very low-key relationship to being famous. It was like they wanted to do the show and only the show. And they would go to Comic-Con and stuff like that and other cons. But it was really just like, we'll get it done when it's done because it's hand-drawn and we have to go back and forth between us and Korea. And we write when we can. And, you know, we're going to have a personal life in there, too. So it was just let it just kind of.
This is
float
amazing.
Happily along.
Yeah, it is amazing to me because that sounds incredibly mature and self-aware and not at all Hollywood-y kind of, oh, this is very popular. I'm going to give up the rest of my life and make The Simpsons, right?
Churn it out as fast as we can. Get 22 episodes a season. These seasons are 8 to 13 episodes a season.
Yeah, not a lot of episodes, and it's not even South Park, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like so those two guys were like, they made a great deal with Comedy Central where they were like, no oversight.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot censor us at all, or we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, well, fine. And but they,
and
I mean,
Comedy Central probably got the better deal out of that because how long have they been going?
Right. That thing's been going for 20 odd years, but they cranked them out for all of those seasons, like The Simpsons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this could have been like The Simpsons, I think.
I think it would have lost everything that makes it magical, though. Makes
for
it
sure.
Dark and weird and.
Right. Because nobody can sustain. I don't know that. I mean, from the sound of that guy, I don't know that he could have sustained that level of weirdness. And, and the things that make it a joy are the real characters that are flawed. I mean, when I think about the Monarch, he is very, very jealous of Dr. Girlfriend, but he also has this self-aggrandizement and he thinks he's this, but he's also incredibly insecure. Mm-hmm. And so they're almost each character is a whole person, right?
I think that's what they tried very hard to do was create whole people. They're not the most likable people, but in showing them as whole people, they become, you can relate to them and enjoy and relate to everybody.
Right. The fact that you end up liking Dr. Hatred, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that you, the idea that as we go along, we get to see that Dean, the difference between Dean and Hank is real.
Oh yeah. Hugely different. Hank is very business oriented. He started Hank Co. He's not on the college track. He's a little obsessed with that Batman.
He's very
all
obsessed.
The way to the end. He's obsessed with Batman. And Hank gets a girlfriend before Dean does, and she just happens to be the daughter of the supervillain across the street. But you know,
well,
he set
you
things
date,
up.
You date you who date. You know.
Yeah.
Who else is he gonna meet? And so, yeah, she and she was incredibly athletic. If I remember correctly, she was like a supervillain in training, or was it? Didn't he?
Serena was the villain's daughter across the street, and her dad was Wide Whale, and so she's ocean themed, and she has gills. And one day, Hank is looking across the Columbus Circle, because they're now in very rich Manhattan, and he sees this girl laying face down in the pool, and he tries to go rescue her, because he's really a white knight. Yeah. And that's where it starts for them.
Right, and Dean is a little bit more... Well, how would you describe Dean's character?
He's very college track. He wants to be a super scientist like his grandfather. We're not going to call Dr. Venture a super scientist. He is a scientist.
But,
he is even enrolled in school by the end of the show. It's like he's at Stuyvesant University and he's taking science classes and he's just like,
he's trying to actually
more like his uncle JJ, who is just like, I'm actually going to do science and make an impact. And right. I'm sick of my dad's life and him dragging us around the planet.
Yeah. It's if there's anything left, let's quickly use some of it for my college tuition.
Yes. Although, because JJ passes, he leaves all the money to Dr. Venture. So now he's fabulously wealthy again because JJ created the iPad. He's basically like a Steve Jobs character.
Yes.
So 40 years inside Dr. Venture, and then he gets out and he's like, he rebuilds the space station.
Well, that's right. The Gargantua or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This fabulous wealth and like a tech billionaire, and then he dies.
Then he dies. Yes.
But that gives Rusty a fortune to deal with, to play with. So now Rusty is just, and the boys are not doing their best, but they're trying. They're in New York and they're being young men with money.
Yes. And Dean has the crush on Dr. Orpheus's daughter. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't ever go anywhere, if I remember correctly. It almost does a couple of times, or
it does. They go on a date. He's obviously infatuated with her when she comes over. She leaves. The character is pushed out of the show, and then they bring her back for one more episode, which was the prom episode. And then she's gone. And then he doesn't really date again until the very end of season 7, and that's might be his brother's girlfriend.
Oh, it might be.
It's storms lead to strange bedfellows.
Right. So what are your favorite? There were some great t-shirts. I will have to say that on the t-shirt front.
So you seen the Go Team Venture art and making of the Venture Brothers tome? This thing is a gorgeous
book. Oh my God, there's a coffee table.
It is a coffee table book, and it is glossy, and it shows like all of their art, and it's just mostly an interview between the two creators talking about, there's a page per episode, but then there's also before and after and all of the
because they're
all
done.
Of the ephemera. Unfortunately, they are. They mentioned that they had started writing season 8 in 2018, and then so that would have given us about 2020 to get the actual thing, and then in 2020 they announced that it had been canceled, and then there was some announcement about a full-length movie, and like that hasn't happened either. So if it happens, it happens, but if it doesn't, I am very happy with where it ended. I thought it was a good place to end.
Oh really? Okay. Because I genuinely have not yet seen the end of it, but I look, look how cool that. People go to YouTube and look at how cool that t-shirt is. It's 24 and 21.
Yeah.
It's the two henchmen in black and white. And that's just good times as far as I'm concerned. So
the OSI gray t-shirt from the second release of the t-shirt club was my favorite because it was so lightweight and easy to breathe. And of course that means it unraveled immediately because they were nice and lightweight.
Yes, OSI. I wonder. What I'm looking for is you know how they have a list of people on the internet will make a list of anything. But for some reason, they have not made an image list of all the t-shirts. And there were, I think we did 2 seasons of t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And some of them were so poorly made that they didn't fit anyone that I knew. I was like, well, this is never going to work. And
did you happen to see that Macaulay Culkin modeled the Destiny shirt?
No.
So there's a picture out there of Macaulay Culkin in the Destiny shirt, which I'm surprised he did because they they made a reference to him saying they used pictures of Macaulay Culkin as currency in jail. And so I'm like, I'm surprised. He was like, let's get in bed with these people.
Let's see. Macaulay Culkin. What is it? The Destiny?
The Destiny.
Destiny shirt. Let's see if that's something that, no, that doesn't. Wait. I don't know. I don't think so. That's not it, is it?
No.
No, that's whatever. Maybe you find me a copy of that shirt and we put it in the slug. So what would you, so if people start, now there's seasons and then there's special episodes.
Yes. I would skip the pilot. I didn't even watch the pilot until I was like rifling around the special features of.
Oh, right. You were desperate.
The DVD.
Yeah.
But now Hulu starts with the pilot, which is The Secrets of Turtle Bay. And it's very rough drawn. It's very corny on the sexual side. It doesn't really meld as well with what they ended up turning it into.
So if they skip that, they can go back to it if they end up loving it.
Of course.
Just when they're looking for more content because they're out of content.
When you're watching it for the third time this year, like I occasionally do.
Yeah, right? Because
they're 22-minute episodes. They just roll right into each other.
They just, exactly. And there's only 8 or 30, like you said, it's about maximum 6 or 7 hours per season.
Mm-hmm.
So you could spend 4 hours, you know, you're done in a week. Mm-hmm. So, so what about the specials? What are they?
They do have a Christmas special. They don't show the Christmas special. I think you would have to look on YouTube or you again, find the DVD special because that's where I see it. Now the very Halloween special should be shown it should be the first third of the season opener for season 5. Then the Halloween special, then the second, third.
Okay.
But it's not, I mean, like, you can't actually do it the way you should because they tell you something very important about them. Maybe Rusty's a clone, too. And Rhys Darby does a voice from Our Flag Means Death as Helper 2.0. And J.K. Simmons does a voice. And it's just like, it's a big special. Like, I can't believe some of the names they got to do voices. Like, they got Patton Oswalt, they've got Aziz Ansari, they've got Mark Hamill, Tim Meadows. Stephen Colbert did a voice for a couple of years, and then he tapped out. And then Reggie Watts did a character, Seth Green. Kristen Milotti is doing a lot of voices. Kate McKinnon, I was surprised, and that was before her work on SNL. Paget Brewster does a lot of their female characters. And then my absolute favorite is Jeffrey Wright, who I just think is just an amazing actor. And they got him to do a voice on The Venture Brothers.
Which voice does he do?
He did Think Tank.
Jeffrey Wright. Yeah.
Season 6 or 7. He's one of the New York villains that are trying to arch Dr. Venture. And this guy is a genius, and he's so excited to finally have a scientist as an arch nemesis. But Rusty's maybe not as smart.
Rusty is Rusty.
The think tank doctor is. So he's very disappointed when Rusty doesn't play chess. And
right. Right. There's no, you can't set up like huge riddles because Rusty's not going to get it.
Not going to get it.
Okay, well, I have this to say. We are pretty close to an hour, and what would you say, are there any other, besides the t-shirts, which you would have to get on Etsy, and I would recommend buying bigger than you need.
Definitely.
They run small, they're uneven makes, you know, it's a cafe press kind of moment where you're just like loosey-goosey, just going to try and maybe this will be good, maybe it won't. So go bigger if you're going to get the shirts. And what about action figures or any of that?
I have a friend, a lovely friend, who also enjoys the Venture Brothers, and she happens to work at a toy distribution company. So every once in a while, she gets a good deal on, say, maybe a set of shot glasses or some nice figurines for me.
I like the
Venture Brothers fan, and you have not gotten a copy of go Team Venture, really invest in it because it is so well made and so beautiful and so detailed. So
and that's that coffee table book.
Yeah.
Okay. That's amazing. Where do you store a coffee table book? We have several books that are that size that they don't fit in our house.
This one happens to fit perfectly in my bookcase upright, which is nice because I don't want it to like lean and I don't want it to just.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's special. It's a special.
Exactly. You guys, I have been talking with Rebecca Deans and her dorkdom so far, and it seems like this might be a diamond with many facets, is the Venture Brothers. We talked about the Venture Brothers, and I now have to go. I either saw it and didn't completely grok it mm-hmm. and need to rewatch it again, or I never saw season 7. So I'm going to get on it as we
You are in for a treat if you haven't seen it yet. And you're in for a treat if you've forgotten it. So
yeah,
we'll finish
right,
up the show.
Thank you so much for doing the show, Rebecca.
Thank you for having me.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?